This is Liberation Radio.
Capitalism needs poverty.
A world run by a handful of greedy bankers and CEOs who nobody elected can't possibly last.
Whatever we could do, we're gonna do, especially in continuing to preserve this earth.
Each week, we bring you interviews, commentary, analysis, political developments, and struggles affecting workers throughout the country as a way to build the movement for socialism in the United States.
The revolution will be broadcast.
The only thing that will ever defeat racism will be the defeat of its parents, capitalism and imperialism.
Without smashing mass incarceration, working people of all nationalities cannot have justice.
Liberation Radio is brought to you by the Party for Socialism and Liberation.
Welcome to Liberation Radio. I'm your host, Sean Garcia. On this episode, we discuss the Black Lives Matter movement and the continued fight against racism and the militarization of poor and working communities. But first, we speak with Paige Murphy, member of the Party for Socialism and Liberation in New Mexico and leading member of the Red Nation, a newly formed coalition of Native activists and allies in Albuquerque. She's also a member of the Dene tribe. She speaks to us about the formation of the new coalition and the current campaign they are engaged in. Okay, Paige, so can you explain who the Red Nation is and how it was formed?
So the Red Nation, you know, is a coalition of leftist activists who want to become involved, who want to be active and who want to organize. And the Red Nation really kind of formed, you know, out of this desire, and we want to be present within the social justice movement. And what we've noticed, you know, as Native activists is that Native issues are often marginalized when it comes to social justice issues. And here in Albuquerque, where there's a huge population of Indigenous people, we see the Native struggle in our day-to-day lives. And here we've been trying to combat nuclear destruction. Not far from here, there's a Church Rock spill, which is a uranium tailing spill, which leaked into, you know, the Rio Perco River, and all the people who live around that area, they're exposed to, you know, uranium. It goes into their food, their water, their soil. So every day, you know, Natives are confronted with, you know, all of these issues, and the Red Nation kind of formed and developed to address these issues and to expose these issues because not a lot of people know about them. And we also formed to tell the U.S. government that they need to uphold their treaty rights as a constitutional law. But however, those treaty rights are being, you know, swept under the rug, and Native people are being abused. So the Red Nation kind of formed because we want to fight back, because we want to continue, you know, the culture of resistance. For the past 500 years, Native people have been resisting, you know, this U.S. government, and the Red Nation is kind of continuing, you know, that culture of resistance. And the Red Nation, what we really do as a group is, you know, we've been asking ourselves whether, you know, Indigenous people, not only here in America, but, you know, worldwide, can really achieve, you know, complete and total liberation within, you know, the confines of a capitalist system.
Awesome. And so recently, you guys launched a campaign to abolish Columbus Day in Albuquerque, New Mexico, obviously. Can you speak more about that?
No, there has been 4 states that refused to celebrate Columbus Day, and also in Venezuela, you know, they celebrate Indigenous Resistance Day. Mm. And here, you know, in the Southwest, here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, there's a huge population of, you know, Indigenous people. New Mexico itself is home to over 22 tribes, and Albuquerque kind of prides itself in being the, you know, Indian capital of the world. No, with knowing all of that, we think that abolishing Columbus Day should be no question. There should be no question about it. And so this has kind of been our first political endeavor as the Red Nation. However, it's not our only focus. And I know local student groups at UNM have actually achieved in abolishing Columbus Day. So at UNM, they're going to be celebrating Indigenous Peoples and Resilience Day. And we sort of seeing that as being, you know, the first step and kind of the building block to achieve a statewide, or I guess a citywide campaign to abolish Columbus Day. You know, the reason why we kind of seek to abolish Columbus Day is, you know, for symbolic reasons. And Columbus, you know, he really represents the genocide of Indigenous people and the conquest of Indigenous people. Columbus really represents, you know, a very brutal history when it comes to Indigenous people, and we don't see why that should be celebrated.
And you recently had a press conference on February 27th. Can you talk about the significance of that day and what it means for the movement?
So the press conference, it was held on February 27th. And the reason why we chose that day was because, you know, it holds historical significance. And it was the 42nd anniversary of Wounded Knee Liberation Day. What Wounded Knee Liberation Day really is, you know, the American Indian Movement, the AIM Movement, occupied the Wounded Knee Massacre site in Pine Ridge, South Dakota, which lasted for 71 days. And the reason why they, you know, occupied this site is because 300 Indigenous people were massacred at the site by the U.S. government. And it was, the occupation was sort of used as a tool to expose, you know, all of the atrocities and all of the injustices that Native people have had to endure, you know, since the very beginning of U.S. occupation. And it was really used to kind of, you know, expose those injustices and kind of seek to uphold treaty rights and to put the U.S. government on the spotlight.
And what role do you see the Red Nation playing in the coming months or years? What kind of role do you see it playing in the movement?
So right now, you know, the Red Nation is very new in its formation, but already, you know, since we formed as a group, we've already received, you know, it has sparked a lot of interest with Native activists here, but also Native activists abroad. And since we're very new, we're still trying to work out, you know, these organizational kinks. But we've also have gotten kind of interest for, you know, other towns. Gallup in particular has been wanting to start, you know, its own Red Nation chapter. And the Red Nation has created this buzz, you know, in a short amount of time. Because like I said earlier, it's been 40 years since there's been a group that is dedicated to mobilization and action. So we've received a lot of attention, and right now our focus is how do we handle that growth, and kind of how do we handle that growth, and how do we move forward, you know, as an organization.
Well, we look forward to hearing more about the Red Nation and seeing its growth. We'll have you back on the show soon for sure.
This is Eugene Perrier reporting for Liberation Radio, and here with us today in the studio is Yasmina Morabit from the D.C. Ferguson Movement. Yasmina, thanks for joining us today.
Sure, thanks for having me.
So I just want to jump right in here, and I think that one of the things we've seen is recently are a new spate of killings, police killings in Atlanta and in Madison. What is your response? What are these killings? What does it say about the state of this country?
What it says is there's an epidemic of police violence and terror that's happening across the country. And what we're seeing are the effects of militarized policing.
Well, one thing I want to ask you about in particular, too, is this issue of demonization of victims. One of the things we've also seen in the news has been the Tamir Rice news and the orientation of the Cleveland police and their discussion of what happened. Could you just talk a little bit about that?
Sure. They constantly try to run these smear campaigns against victims of police violence. We saw it in Michael Brown's case when they said he had marijuana in his system. In Tamir Rice's case, they said he looked 20 years old. They said he was 5'7". They said he looked like he weighed 190 pounds. So yes, it's very common for police to construct false narratives around victims of their violence and for the mainstream media to then push those narratives to the public.
So you think that the mainstream media also plays a role in essentially buttressing the police and what they're doing?
Absolutely. They serve as a mouthpiece.
For the police departments?
They serve as a mouthpiece for police departments and for state violence, both physical violence and violence in terms of perpetuating false narratives about identities of the most oppressed communities in our country.
And I think one of the things that a lot of people have been wondering recently is what's the course of this movement? Is it over? Is it continuing? Is it in a lull? So what effect do you expect these recent killings that have taken place to have on the broader movement?
Well, of course, we can't predict the future, but we can see what has happened in Madison, Wisconsin, where Tony Robinson was killed. Students took over the Capitol, and I think that speaks to the fact that the movement is not dead, and that, in fact, it's continuing to grow as people become more aware of state violence against Black and Brown communities.
And what's interesting about that is not only is it continuing to grow, but there seems to be new connections that are being made to struggles around the world, really. I was wondering if you could just speak a little bit as to why the D.C. Ferguson movement endorsed the Answer Coalition's demonstration outside of Prime Minister Netanyahu's speech to Congress just a week or so ago.
Yes, we endorse that demonstration because it is directly related to the way that D.C. police are operating in Black neighborhoods. They are using militarized occupation-style tactics, and we know that D.C. Police Chief Kathy Lanier, she said that nothing has had more of an influence on her policing than a trip that she took to Israel. And that's evidenced by the fact that she did institute unconstitutional military-style checkpoints in Trinidad in Northeast D.C., and she has continued to allow officers under her watch to use the jump-out tactic. So clearly her style of policing is directly connected to the way that Israel is occupying and terrorizing the Palestinian people.
And you bring up jump outs, and I should also just say by way of clarification for our national listeners, Trinidad is a Black working class community traditionally oppressed. You bring up jump outs, and we've discussed jump outs or stop and frisk on wheels on Liberation Radio before. And I think many people who are listening know about D.C. Ferguson's campaign against jump outs. But could you just give us an update about where that campaign stands?
Yeah, so the campaign is continuing to grow. We're continuing to gather signatures for our petition. Yesterday, City Council held an oversight hearing for the Metropolitan Police Department. We protested there and gave testimonies, and what we have found is that while the police chief denies the existence of jump outs when she's not under oath to various media outlets, she calls them a fantasy, she says they don't exist. When she's under oath and she's questioned about jump outs, she's unable to deny their existence and does in fact admit that they do exist, that the term jump out is a term that the community uses, but she describes what everyone knows as a jump out, where three or more officers jump out of an unmarked police vehicle and harass people without probable cause. So where the campaign stands, it has brought national and international attention to the fact that jump outs exist in DC, to the fact that people in the highest in high political positions are denying their existence, and we can see, you know, the hypocrisy that's taking level at the that's taking place at the highest levels of DC government.
And I know that you have also been involved in part of the process of the anti-jump out campaign is testimonies have been collected of individuals who've been victimized. And if you could just share briefly some of the things you've heard from individuals about how they're being treated during these stops.
Sure. Yeah, we've been collecting video testimonies of people who have been victimized by jump outs. I have been told a number of different things, that police use these jump outs as ways to conduct illegal searches, to force victims into unwarranted interrogations. They've used them to steal money from people who then cannot make any claims to get this money back, because perhaps the money was made doing something that's not legal, and then they can't say, you know, this money was stolen from me because they got it in an illegal way. And so sure, I've heard a number of different things through the interviews that we've done with people who've been victims of police jump outs in DC. I've been told about police touching the private parts of victims while they're searching them, stealing their money, just general harassment, beating people up, and most disturbingly, public cavity searches, and the threat of public cavity searches. I had a couple people tell me that when they refused to submit to searches by these police that come out of unmarked vehicles, that they were threatened with a cavity search if they did not comply. And so they then complied.
Wow. Well, that's unbelievable, particularly since the MPD says cavity searches are not something that they quote unquote do. I had an officer tell me that. So what I also want to ask for our listeners who are looking for how maybe they could get involved with DC Ferguson, look at what you're doing, what are some different ways that people can get in contact with the DC Ferguson movement and see some of the actions and events you're doing?
Sure. Well, everyone can follow us on our social media accounts. Our Facebook account is facebook.com/DC Ferguson Moves. Our Twitter is @DC Ferguson Moves. We can be contacted anytime by email at DC Ferguson Movement@gmail.com. There are a number of ways to get involved. You can join a petition team. You can join one of our working committees. And we're always hosting events and actions, so there's a chance for everyone to get involved however they can.
Great. And is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think that about covers it.
Well, thank you so much, Yasmina. And once again, that's Yasmina Morabit from the DC Ferguson Movement. And I really appreciate you joining us here today on Liberation Radio.
I appreciate you having me.
North Division trying to stop my blackness. I'm watching for them badges when out in traffic. Them 9-11's been a tad bit frantic. If lights start flashing, please don't panic. The DEA giving out gang enhancements. Can barely even hang to build a case off camera. CCAT tracking criminal patterns. Tricking into taking strikes to get out faster. Freedom bribery, cause we hardly acquit. Social media that lead to fast photography snitching. Blame geography, for the pride in these new, take you when they fingerprint you. Now you part of the system. This was all a part of UEP and Bobby prediction. Making profit off of violence, they arousing attention. Leaders rising, leave the 25 to life in the prison. Better watch it, cause I know they got a spot for you.
Yeah, put your hands in the air. 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 Forget freeze, put your hands in the air. Yeah, put your hands in the air.
And Tyler Woods, just a couple they gunned down around the hood.
split wigs for the greater good, cause I ain't seen them lock a swine up yet. At the most, they reassign them to prevent protests. Just your color is enough to get you under arrest. Strong hand in the law got me feeling oppressed. If you flip and kill a 50, then you get in the chair. Paying taxes for some clowns to ride around, whooping scared the man up, handcuffs, giving dashes on the wrist. I used to lift my fist and fight the power with. All the homie told me in his day the dicks was playing bricks. In the trunks in the Chevrolet, they traffic stopping shit. Raider homes without a warrant, shooting first without a warning. And they expect respect and non-violence. I refuse the right to be silent.
Yeah, put your hands in the air. Put your hands in the air. Put your hands in the air. We can freeze, put your hands in the air. Yeah, put your hands in the air. Put your hands in the air. Put your hands in the air and freeze.
LBPD, no, they ain't about you. LAPD, no, they ain't about you. LASD, no, they ain't about you. Right around these streets, giving out full clips. LBPD, no, they ain't about you. LAPD, no, they ain't about you. LASD, no, they ain't about you.
Finally, we got a chance to speak with Eugene Perrier, editor with Liberation News and regular contributor to Liberation Radio, about the recent news coming out of Ferguson this week and how we as a movement should respond to the narratives being drawn by the big media outlets. All right, Eugene, so right now there's a lot of hysteria being raised in and around Ferguson. What do you think our response should be to the information that we've been getting?
Well, I think that the most important thing, I think we should be cool and level-headed about it. I think that we don't have all the information. There are many things I think will come out and we'll, you know, have to judge it then. Certainly we have a video. I think there's, you know, it's inconclusive in some ways. So ultimately I think that what we have to recognize is that the context of this situation is what has been revealed about the Ferguson police racism and the various practices that were denounced in the Justice Department report and the resignation of the police chief, as well as the entire backdrop of the Ferguson uprising. That's the context of what's going on. But I think that before we start to play into any sort of particular narratives, I think we need to let some more facts play out here. But I think ultimately what we do know is that the racist militarized policing that's been targeted from the beginning in Ferguson, in the St. Louis area, and really, of course, which has been revealed around the country, is certainly still one of the most important issues to really touch on, because that's what underlies this whole thing, is the systemic oppression that is really being revealed.
So, you know, what do we take from the narrative that's being painted by the media? You know, there's been a lot of news outlets in the past 48 hours that have been, painting a certain story. How do we react to that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we have to recognize that there is certainly going to be media coverage that is attempting to either play hysteria or produce a particular political agenda. But absolutely, I think that this entire attempt to make any connection between the protests that are happening and the potential for violence, I mean, I just think that ultimately that agenda, well, on the one hand, it speaks to the power of the movement that's been in the streets, that the powers that be want to try to discredit it. But I think on the other hand, I mean, you know, we just have to recognize that we've seen this massive movement happen, this Black Lives Matter movement, this really uprising against racism in this country, and we've seen it not be something marred by this sort of incident. And I think that when you really start to look at it, this connection that's made that, oh, well, you know, raising this issue of injustice somehow is connected to any particular action against the police of this sort, you know, and that's not knowing all the facts, is, I think something that we can't do. I think we have to recognize that ultimately these issues, which have been brewing under the surface, have been brought to the surface and potentially could be resolved in the course of people moving forward and winning over allies from the point of view of winning justice on this issue of ending racism in the criminal justice system.
And, you know, what should the movement take from the things that have been happening over the past 2 weeks? I mean, you know, we have things going on, obviously, in Madison and Atlanta. You know, what should the movement take from all this stuff?
Well, I think that the movement should be heartened. I mean, I think what we saw in Madison, the scenes that were reminiscent of the taking over of the Capitol during the fight several years ago, which was so inspiring, having in tandem with the Egyptian Revolution, were brought to mind, and everyone looking at these high school kids who had the audacity to go out and defend the memory of their colleague, of their brother. And I think it shows that this movement has a lot of vitality all around the country, and I think that many people were thinking that the issue had faded, but certainly in this post-Ferguson era, I think we are really starting to see a rising tide of resistance, and I think that it's very heartening to see what's happening around the country, and certainly where I am in D.C., the continuance of this movement. So I think, quite frankly, what we should take from this is that we forced this issue to the forefront, and that every time protests start to erupt, it's getting a lot of attention. And so the way to continue to resolve it is to keep struggling and keep fighting.
That's all for Liberation Radio. I'm Sean Garcia. Please remember this program is available free for broadcast by community and public radio stations. You can encourage your local radio station to air Liberation Radio. They can visit liberationradio.org for details. Tune in next week for more from the Struggle for Justice.
You have been listening to Liberation Radio, a weekly program from the Party for Socialism and Liberation. You can find us online at liberationradio.org to listen to past shows and connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. Some of what you heard during this program are Creative Commons licensed compositions. Our theme music and some music segments were performed by Six Fingers and used with permission of the artists. Liberation Radio is produced by the Party for Socialism and Liberation to help build the struggle for socialism in the United States. The PSL is a party of activists and organizers. We are in the streets at the demonstrations and picket lines, opposing cutbacks and attacks on workers, standing up to police brutality, fighting for immigrant rights, and struggling against racism, sexism, homophobia, and all forms of bigotry. We stand in solidarity with oppressed peoples around the world resisting imperialism. We believe the crimes of capitalism call for a new kind of society, and we are committed to fighting for it. To find a PSL branch near you, see our upcoming events and learn more about how you can get involved. PSLweb.org. Again, that's PSLweb.org. Also, the PSL's Liberation newspaper online at liberationnews.org, where you can read our news articles and analysis or purchase a subscription to the print edition. Thank you for listening.